messages have always held true. Some of you got tested on offense this week. I know I did. But last week I didn't share this because I didn't understand it at the time. And over the course of the week, God began showing me more about it. You know, the Bible says your young men in the end times, your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Well, I have now graduated to the dreaming dreams part. But God gave me a dream last week. I told Angela, I said, it made no sense. You know, when there's a dream and you can feel physically in your body what just happened, I take note of that. I'm like, God, that's not normal for me to feel a dream. And last week, I had a dream that I was helping a brother move out of base housing, which was, and I identified it, told Angela, said it was someplace I knew I'd been. I had been there. And as I looked around, I said, this ain't where we lived. These aren't the buildings we lived in. That's not even the right house number. But I was standing at the backside, back end of my pickup truck, helping a brother move. And it was my physical brother, but the Lord has since showed me that he was just representing a brother. And I was helping him move, and I was just standing here back here, and it was at night. We were trying to get stuff out of the house. It was getting late. And I was standing there, and I felt something clamped down on my right arm. And I looked down, and a Rottweiler has walked up and just clamped down on my right arm. And I felt the teeth go. They didn't puncture the skin, but I could feel the pressure on my right arm. And I looked down, and all I could see, you know, my dog, he's all black. There's just certain points when he rolls, all you can see is that white of his eye. And he's sitting there looking at me, just like, go ahead, pull your arm, and I'll show you what I can do. And I looked down, and I knew better to do that. And I just looked down, and I told him, I said, this is how I knew that the dream was a spiritual issue versus a physical. Because I happen to know that Rottweilers are very protective, and they aren't just mindless killing machines. But I looked down, and this dog has got my right arm. And I looked at him, and I said, I don't think so in the name of Jesus. Now you will let go and go away. And the dog just let go. And he walked back across the parking lot to the house from which he came. And over the course of the week, I told Angela, I said, I realized after I shared last week, since we were talking about offenses, how right off that morning, the devil tried to throw an offense my way so that I was up here trying to preach to you and teach you about how to stay out of offense, how to get out of offense. The devil was trying to set a trap for me, and I refused to bite on it. And the Lord showed me that the dog represented offense. And here's the thing of the Lord finished showing me that throughout this week is the brother, you are the brothers that I'm trying to help move out of someplace I've been, out of an offense. Okay, the dog represented offense. And it's by the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, that you can be free, that you can get out of this. And I'm not just saying that you can say in the name of Jesus, offense be gone. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that forgave sins. And we're going to talk about that part today. But that we have got to be super careful that when the offense clamps down on us, and what the whole point of the right arm is in particularly the Bible, you notice they extend the right arm for the blessings. It represented the authority. And if I hadn't taken the authority over that offense, the offense would have won. And what I've taught you last week would have been for naught. You wouldn't have got a thing out of it because I would have been trapped in my own prison trying to teach you about something. And I honestly have to say that this week has been a great opportunity for getting offended. You know, yesterday we sat through basketball tournaments. Anybody who knows what I'm talking about? But you're like, seriously, ref, did you not see that? Put a saddle, let them put a saddle on the next time. You know, it's like, you got to be careful not to get offended. And so I told Angela, I'm just sitting there behaving. She's like, Bob was there with us, and Angela's teasing. She's like, Mom's over here keeping Dad calm. And I said, I know. I'm sitting over here vibrating right now. Because honestly, it was awful. I mean, the whole Mount Gilead side was about to come unglued. It was such bad calling. But we ended up winning. The boys beat the only undefeated team in their league 2 years running. But it was a tumultuous time, I will not lie. But that's just how easy offense can come and stupid little things like that. Now, as I said, I'm going to piggyback right off of last week. And since I was talking about the offense, and I'm going to hit some things real quick to remind you, that offense, the word means scandalon. It means trap. And the offense that comes is the thing that trips you up. It's the bait. What was it that baited you into falling into the trap? The offense becomes a prison. I use these squares, these carpet squares, to point that out. We are bound in this prison. We can't hear. We can't speak. Nothing we do makes sense. And as we're stuck in that offense, we can't even hear the voice of God. Even though God's mercy is still on our lives, we cannot hear clearly because of that offense. Because offense is unforgiveness. And so we've tripped on something. There's something that lured you to that, and you tripped on it, and you fell in the trap, and now you're stuck. And Jesus warned us not to fall for the trip, not to be tripped up over these things. You know, I as I sat there yesterday, I mean, we had one person on the Mount Gilead side who was told if they didn't calm it, they were going to be escorted off the property. That's how bad it was starting to get. And this guy had nobody playing. He was just there to watch. So, you know, it was getting, it could got have gotten really bad. And as I was praying this week, you know, I was like, Lord, I'm gonna talk about faith this week. We're gonna have faith building message. Lord, you know, thank you, Jesus. Everybody gets pumped up about faith building messages, don't they? We don't like the having to deal with the real issues. But I have to tell you, so many people came up last week and said, thank you. I needed to hear that. And the Lord began showing me that I need to keep that up because seasons come along. You know, you can ask any farmer in here, anybody deals with that. Planting season is about to come on. It's a season. You know there's things that's got to happen, things got to do. And there's signs of the times that it's about planting season. And you know what? And our spiritual life is no different. And if I don't take the time to see the seasons and see the markings of what's about to come. And some of you probably already dealing with offenses and haven't even realized that that's what was holding you, is you really were offended and you were still holding on to it. But as I began talking or praying this week and asking God what I could talk to you about, you know, I was going to talk about words and how our words are important in any situation and how our words move our faith. And then I was sitting there and was talking, and you know, got to spend some time talking with Angela, and I told her, I said, you know what? The more I'm sitting here talking, I said, I feel God is telling me I need to continue on with offense. And I said, I think I need to cross over into the unforgiveness part, so that's where we're going to go. And as I told Angela, I said, you know, I knew what I was preaching today. I knew what was going on. And I went to bed last night and I got up this morning and I lay there when I wake up in the morning and I talk to the Lord. And I said, all right, Father, I said, I know what I believe you want me to talk to, but usually the message is it's birthing in me. Even as I wake up, it is bubbling in me. It was total silence. And I said, God, did you change the message on me today? And as I laid there, I said, all right, Father, I'm going to calm my spirit. I'm just going to be calm and listen. And he kind of took it a little different route than I was originally thinking. And as I began, and I knew the scripture and I knew the story well. And when I sat down and actually put my, you know, made my little note paper up. I looked at the scripture. I said, Lord, you are so good. It piggybacks. It's the next chapter from where we were last week. It's how God moved on and how we sometimes forget it. So let's go ahead and open our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 18. And we'll go to verse 21. And then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. Now remember, Jesus has already talked about this. If he comes to you seven times in a day, you forgive him seven times. So Peter's trying to take this literally. Okay, remember, when you are of a legalistic mindset, you will do that. We'll talk about something else about that legalistic mindset too here in just a minute. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven, 490 times a day. I don't know about you. If I can be offended that many times in a day, it's time to put my big boy pants on. That's a lot. And then Jesus told this parable. He said, therefore, the kingdom of heaven, again, anytime you see Jesus mention the kingdom of heaven and he likens it to something, these are the words that are saying, pay attention to me. Listen to what's about to come out. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. That's like a year's worth of wages. It was astronomical. And when he had But when he was not able to pay, verse 25, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Okay, it's like 10 bucks. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Now, for those of you who have heard the mindset that anything Jesus taught during his time period was under the law, baloney. Jesus was the walking epitome of grace and mercy. He fulfilled the law, but what he taught us is what we're supposed to live by. We have got to forgive those who have harmed us. It's not an option. If we do not forget what's going to happen is, or forgive, what's going to happen is we're going to be standing there before God thinking we're under the blood, and God's going to say, why didn't you forgive? Oh, I'm under the blood, Jesus. You know that. I'm under his blood. You know, that doesn't count. You know, I know that story, but that was all under the law. God's going to say, hogwash. Depart. I never knew you. Are you hearing me now? This is where Jesus later talked about separation of sheep and goats. People are going to come up and declare, Lord, look what I have done for you. I built this big church. I led crusades around the world. And these are people who thought they were doing good, but they didn't forgive. Now, I'm going to back up a little bit in here. He comes, he's to settle his debt with the master, and he begs him. He begs him. Because he, his wife, and his children, I need you to understand something. We can sit here and think that what we've done will not affect anybody. This proves it wrong. What we do not only affects us, but it affects our children and our children's children. We cannot think that, well, you know, just like me cutting that line out, I didn't think it was going to have any effect on anything. Unbeknownst to me, there was another line coming off of that upstairs that I couldn't see. It still had an effect. It doesn't affect me a whole lot because the only time I go up there is in the daytime. I don't need the light. But the kids that's got to go to bed at night, they kind of need that light. And so this master commanded and ordered that he be sold into slavery until that debt be paid. And then because he fell down at his feet, he humbled himself and he begged and pleaded for mercy. God forgave him. And he forgave him the whole debt. Okay, folks, they've given some things in here. I think it's like kind of like $100,000 or something would be the equivalent today. Imagine you've been forgiven a $100,000 debt. Is that going to change your outlook for tomorrow? It's going to forgive me. I don't know about you, but I might actually dance. And he goes out. He's walking down the street. I've been redeemed. Brother, don't you owe me $10? Don't you owe me $10? Oh, you don't have the $10? I don't care how much begging. You're going to pay the $10 you owe me. I've been merciful enough. You see what the man did? Forgot that he had been forgiven so much and couldn't share the compassion. When we're stuck in an offense, we can't see clearly. We can't see it. You know what the sad part is usually it takes a real great force to get us out of a trap. Sometimes in this case, like this guy, here's why he was stuck in it, folks. He was self-righteous. He did not see the compassion of the king. He saw his pleading and bargaining as what got him out of it. You following me? It was works. He thought what he had done had freed him. What he had done did nothing. Do you seriously think that nobody else had tried that before? But it was compassion. It was the compassion of that king not wanting to devastate somebody's life that he said, I forgive you of this debt. Now as he's dragging this young man or this man to the prison to pay his debt, and he has him thrown into prison. His fellow servants have seen it. And they all knew what had happened. I believe these are the angels, folks. The Bible says that the angels are before God. We like to think that our angels that are with us are our slaves. I don't subscribe to that theory at all. They can move things. They can go do things. They aren't here to move your chair or to bring forth your fancy car or whatever else it is. The Bible says that they were here to help us, aid us in the very beginning. As a matter of fact, even David said, how is it? How are you mindful of man, knowing that he is just a little bit lower than the angels? They serve God, we serve God. You see the correlation here. They're fellow servants. They're like, God, you forgave this person. You forgave them. And this is what they went and done. Now here's where the trap becomes deadly for us. When we're stuck in that offense, one, we can't hear. We can't see. We can't feel. We're focused on ourselves. That's what happens. We are totally focused. If you've ever, you know, anybody who's ever trapped, like raccoons and things of that nature, you know, when they step in that trap, some of you trappers have been out there and you know what I'm talking about. You'll come back. The trap's set off. And when you look down in there, there's a paw. Where that animal chewed off its own leg to get out of the trap. It was so focused on itself of getting free. See, we'll do the same thing. We'll self-destruct in a trap. Because, well, after all, it's about me. And that's what self-righteousness does. It makes us think, it was Isaiah who said, our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You ever taken a dirty rag and tried to clean up a mess? Doesn't work real well, does it? Mechanics, you ever take, you know, those red shop rags, they're a blessing. They're a godsend. But when you got one that's soaked in oil already, it's worthless. It can't absorb any more oil. Oh, you can wipe off a little bit of grease, but now your hand is oily. And, you know, Joe was talking, we were talking the other day, talking about barber poles. You know, I knew what the red and white meant because, you know, they did surgery, they did dental work, and they cut your hair. But he told me how they came up with the pole. Because they did surgery and the dental work, they needed rags to sop up all the blood. And they'd take them out and they'd wrap them around this pole so they'd dry out. So they could reuse them. And we wonder where gangrene came from. They weren't cleaned. Until something is cleaned, it's filthy. And we should not be trying to clean up ourselves with filthy rags. We have to fall back at His feet. And we have to fall on His mercy and beg God, forgive me. I did this. When we do that, folks, God can move in our lives. Now, God will keep you, you know, they always say, I've heard the saying, God looks out for fools and for babies. He doesn't bless fools. Are you hearing me? I don't want Him just looking out for me. I want Him to bless me. Even the Samaritan woman, she said, yes, Master, but even the pups get the scraps that fall off the table. I'm not a pup. I'm sitting at the table. I expect to eat the steak. Not the fat that gets thrown down. Although I don't throw too much fat down when it's a good one. But if we expect God's blessing in our lives, we have got to forgive. We've got to get out of the offense. That's the only way to get set free out of those traps is to forgive. We have to repent of what we've done, our part of it. Now, hear me tell you a little something. Here's what people don't understand about repentance. Oh, Lord, I have repented. I have repented. Repent means to turn around and go the opposite direction. To turn your back from that. That's what repentance means. You know, a lot of people mistake a person who is not easily offended as aloof, as non-caring. That's not it at all. They've just learned how to control that. You know, the Bible, Jesus said, blessed are the meek. You know, now here's what we've read into that. Blessed are the weak. You need to understand what meek represents. Meek doesn't represent that I'm a weakling, that I'm a pushover, that you're just going to run all over me. Meek means I have the ability to destroy you, and I don't. Did that put it plain enough for people? I have the ability to destroy you in your life, and I don't do it. That's meekness. But see, we fall back on law, and we like to look at how, you know, we're no different really than the Israelites who chose Saul as king over God. They chose the law already. We want law. We want to know God through order of law. You know the law can't clean you up, right? If righteousness could come by the law, then Jesus wouldn't have had to have come. So all the law does is show us the dirtiness. Do you notice when you focus on dirty, you become dirty? No matter how... I've known a few junkyard owners. I love junkyards. I love going in and seeing what has been and finding little treasures of things. But I will tell you this. Everyone I knew, no matter how they tried to keep their house, no matter how they looked, you could tell they were a junkyard owner. They looked dirty. They may not necessarily be. They start scroungy. They become part of their surroundings. But let's say you take a surgeon. Somebody works in an OR. They keep clean. There's order. The law is represented by the junkyard. It's chaos. It just shows us what is wrong, not how to fix it. The surgeon, on the other hand, says, I know what's wrong. I know how to fix it. Because personally, if somebody's got to cut me open and work in me, I don't want to be on the junkyard table. I'm not cool with that. I love the junkyards, but if I need fixed, I need to go someplace where they know how to fix me. So when we are practicing forgiveness, I've told you this hundreds of times. Some days you need to say, Father, I forgive them 100 times. And it's not necessarily because you're trying to tell them you forgive them. It's because you're trying to settle it in your heart. Does it mean that they're going to automatically, if you forgive them, that they're going to jump up and praise the Lord, hallelujah, I'm sorry for what I did? I wish that's the way it worked, but it don't. Because until they have this revelation, see, because here's the problem, folks. Remember what I told you about the offense. It's a trap. You can't see, you can't hear clearly until somebody sets you free. They're in a trap. Hurting people hurt people. One of the messages I was going to teach, and I'm still going to, is when reasons become excuses. When the reason why we've done something becomes an excuse for the sin that we've allowed. We'll talk about that. But for now, I want you to get out of the jail. You've got to get out of jail card. You've got to use it. You're not going to get anywhere else until you use that card. And you've got to deal with the problem. See, I think I got something else on my notes up here. Yeah. When we're walking in self-righteousness, we justify our actions. I'm justified in doing what I did. I've usually realized after the fact that what I did really wasn't justifiable. Even though there was... How many of you ever watched the show on FX called Justified? Only me? Oh, my boys. I loved it. It was a U.S. Marshal, and he was from Harlan County, Texas. Or not Texas, Kentucky, out of the coal mines. But he's a U.S. Marshal running from his past. And everywhere he went, he seemed to kill somebody. And he said, my shooting was justified. And the truth of the matter was, if you're watching the show, they were. The drug dealer he shot in Miami pulled the gun first. He just egged him on so he could go ahead and deal with the problem. So when they transfer him back to his home, now he's got to deal with his friends who used to be, he went to school with, who are the drug dealers and the prostitutes and the pimps. But you see, we justify our actions by our self-righteousness, and that's what he started doing. He ruined one of his greatest relationships with a friend that he ever had. He ruined it because he justified killing a Detroit drug dealer, having this other guy shot. He crossed the line. See, we do that. There are laws we have to abide by even under grace. It's called the law of love. It's a law. You violate it, you get to deal with the consequences. Just like a husband who cheated on his wife or vice versa, you deal with the consequences. You, oh, but I love you, I love you. You know, I was telling Jesse the other day, we were talking about, I don't remember what we were talking about now, but I was telling him about some of the I took a few Marines to the brig after their court-martials. And, you know, oh, it was these guys who think, well, I'll just go do my time in the brig and get out of the Marine Corps, you know, early, and, you know, I'll get on with my life. Well, they screw up their life. You go to the brig, you got a bad conduct discharge, which is not going to translate to anything good for you. And anyhow, this one particular one, trying to think if he was the first. He was the second one I took to the brig. Smoking pot. I kept trying to figure, every Friday morning they had me and about eight others standing outside this little room at the barracks so we could go pee in a cup. Like, what are you after? I would rather go out and run battalion PT than be standing out here freezing trying to pee in a cup. And then I realized it was all the same people after 2 months. And then it just suddenly stopped. Well, at that point, I'd become a chaser, and I realized what it was. They caught him. He'd go home, smoke a couple joints over the weekend, think he'd be okay, and it wasn't. And I remember waiting outside his court martial as they were passing judgment on him. He did just what this man did. Fell to his knees. Please don't kick me out. I love the Marine Corps. Don't kick me out. Well, you know, if you love the Marine Corps so much, you should have followed the laws. And drugs are not part of it and will not be accepted, they told him. And so me and Corporal Schwartz took him by the arms, escorted him to the van, took him to the Marine Corps brig at Camp Lejeune. He loved the Corps so much, he couldn't stay away from pot. But let me tell you, here's where dedication comes in. He had a roommate, didn't smoke pot, called to testify. No, sir, he did not smoke pot. He did not. I was there. 2 weeks later, I escorted him to the brig. Perjury. Both of them. Dishonorable discharges. Lost all of their military benefits. Because they love the Corps so much. Well, if you love your spouse so much, you'll be faithful. If you love the truth so much, you won't lie. If you love forgiveness so much, you'll forgive. We are living in such a time that anything and everything will offend us. I think I can't remember how long ago it was. I taught about that we are the most offendable group on the planet. Somebody's got a beard that we don't like how they cut it. We're offended. We don't like the color of Sister Sassy Mouth's hair. Who cares? You want to dye your hair purple? Bless you. Some of you have done it unintentionally. Some of them are on purpose. I've seen green hair. I've seen red hair, blue hair, purple hair. When we had cross-country runners in here and they were heading to the regionals, we had blue hair in here. But we've gotten offended at every little thing. And the truth of the matter is, yeah, it's an offense, but it's not a justifiable. Somebody, you know, and here's where I want to go with this real quick. With the Jesus told us in the previous chapter, he said, but woe to the man by whom the offense has come. I need to tell you something, folks. We're not talking about these stupid, petty, Annie little offenses. I don't like how you cut your beard. I don't like that you got earrings. I don't like you got a Fu Manchu or you got a goatee. Who cares what you like? It's not about what you like. If we're so offended at how somebody looks on the outside, we've got a problem inside. We're trying to justify our sins by legalism, which is self-righteousness. We fall back on that. Well, you know, Pastor, I don't like that you guys sing them up to them hippie songs. I do. I think it's about time that the body of Christ gets out of the old-time religion business. I remember singing. I went to a Baptist church early on. I loved the old Rugged Cross, my favorite hymn. But I don't want to sing it every Sunday. And I will not, and I refuse. My mom she loves bluegrass. Growing up, I can't tell you. I believe I'm an old chunk of coal that's going to be a diamond. But I heard, give me that old time religion more times than I ever care. I don't want your old time religion. It didn't carry my grandfather through. It killed him because it didn't teach him about faith. But we have become so offended at every little thing. We're not offended at the wrong things, or at the right things, I'm sorry. We're offended at the wrong things. Well, I don't like that style of glasses. I don't think women should be wearing makeup. I don't think women should be doing this. I don't think men should do that. You know what? Take your garbage and go down the street here, HPM Street, turn right, go around the little driveway and back up to the pile of garbage and dump it. We don't need that kind of trash in the body of Christ. Because I'm going to tell you, if you're offended at that kind of stuff, trust me, you are already offended at major things. And all you're doing is infecting other people. You notice that's in the Bible, anytime there was an infection, you know, if you had a zit, if you've ever read the law, if you had a pimple, a simple pimple, so all of us that went through the teenage years, you were not, which might not have actually been a half bad thing, they were kicked out of the camp. Now that I think about that, that might have been a good thing. We'll let the teenagers deal with each other. But if you had any kind of infection, you went outside the camp. It was a twofold thing. First off, it kept you from spreading the infection. Okay, there are infections. But it kept people from hurting you. People are just like chickens. I raised 125 chickens. And as I watched, man, I just got so mad at them chickens. A chicken would get sick. Man, you come in there, five of them pecking at it. I'd kick them five. I mean, it just made me mad. We are like that. You know that song we sang to fill us, Lord? Fill us? Did you pay attention to the words? That by the way, both the man and the woman sung about in the song are real life accounts. We saw something happen in the body of Christ that should never have happened. And God made her write a song. People began picking and picking and picking instead of restoring. We're not called to pick, be chickens. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a chicken. You either, right? I agree. But until we quit being so easily stinking offended, we stink. We think we smell good. Like I said, we can look great on the outside, man. Oh, man, look at these biceps. Look at my 8-pack. Forget the 6, man. I went and developed the 8-pack. Man, look at these pecs. I can bounce a ball from side to side. I can't anymore. There's nothing there. They don't work. But we can look like that on the outside and be totally miserable on the inside because of an offense. And here's the problem. Remember what I told you about the infected part? When we're infected, we will infect those closest to us. They become offended for us. I shared that last week about how somebody close to you can be offended. You may not have took the offense, but they can be offended for you. What I try to teach people is people are stupid. We really are. We really are. Listen, I'm throwing that back at myself. We look at things and we're stupid, stupid. You know what? I told Angela, I said, we were watching the game last night. The last team we played, they were an awesome team. There's no taking anything. We got killed. The team they played that morning got beat by 40-some points. Ours wasn't quite that bad. We had twice as many points as the team that only had 6. We had 12, but they were still at 41. We got killed. But I saw this one boy, and I would lay money on it. His parents are Christians, and he believes in God. Because he did something stupid. You know, I'm sitting here watching the arrogance. First off, of the guy behind me keeps yelling, foul. There's a foul, there's a foul. And he's jumping up, and a woman back here says, sit down, we can't see through you. I'll stand up if I want to. I'm going to knock you out and wake you up after the end of the game and let you know how it ended. She told him. I'm just sitting here, holy Toledo. And this is a girls' basketball game. This is not going to be. But this boy, he did something stupid, and all these other players go, what'd I do? What'd I do? What'd I do? You ever see it? You know what I'm talking about? Every game. What'd I do? What'd I do? This kid got up. He's like, I did it. He just shook it off. And he was a good player. But he didn't come off with the arrogance of, I didn't do anything. He's like, yeah, I did it, bigger than snot. You know, we had one kid, Justin got the ball. He was trying to spin around and put the ball up. He's got one kid in front of him trying to take it from him. The other kid comes up and just bear hugs him. What's that? You know, but the kid acted like he didn't do anything. His coach acted like he didn't do anything. Seriously? We call that a mugging in New York. But you know, Justin didn't take the offense. He got a one for one, and he went his way. But that other kid, I told Angel, I said, his character spoke more to me than all the other great players who thought they were great. I mean, who knows? We're only talking fourth grade. 4 more years, they might be the most uncoordinated thing you ever wanted to see. Because we watched the girls that were in the fourth grade play before this. And that's about when they took off. There were girls as tall as me in the fourth grade. And there was a handful of them. We don't have one boy on our team that's taller than this. But they had girls like this. But here's the problem. Those really tall girls right now were so uncoordinated. They hadn't quite grown into their length yet. And the little ones, though, man, they were... But that boy, his character spoke volumes to me. I said, I don't know who he is. Probably will never see him again. Who knows? Maybe I will. But I can tell you, he owned up to what he did. Instead of saying, I didn't do anything. I never offended anybody. Listen, I've offended people. And some of them, they weren't people. They were people I didn't mean to offend. I've offended people in the past, you know, thinking we were tighter than we were and made a joke, and it really hurt them. And I can't tell you how bad I felt. It took a while for that guy to forgive me. And it was just something stupid. Totally stupid. That's why yesterday I was sitting, I just tried to, in the second game, I knew we were going to get a spanking, so I just kind of resolved to just sit there and bite my tongue. So, I'm going to tell you, if you're having a problem with any things I've talked about, I'm going to tell you right now, you're stuck. Fall off your self-righteousness. Get your eyes off of yourself. And feeling sorry, it's a pity party. It's a pity party. Oh, I was watching a show the other night, and it was actually The Big Bang Theory. Yes, I watch it. I don't believe in them, but it's a hilarious show. And Stuart, those of you, I know there's a whole group right here who knows what I'm talking about. Stuart's throwing us a pity party about I'm not part of it. I didn't know about that. I didn't know she was pregnant. And Penny walks by and says, hey, enough with the pity party. Let's focus on the birthday party. Enough with focusing on ourselves and throwing ourselves a precious little pity party. And let's focus on getting out of the trap, which means we've got to seek forgiveness and forgive. Because, see, we're wrong now, too. We have sinned. I want you to notice, God called back every sin, every debt that man owed and brought it back. I don't know about you, but I don't want that. Not anything I'm interested in. Think about trying. You want to know why the world's miserable? They don't understand God's love and His mercy. They just keep trying to pile up their sin. I'm going to get through this. I would think that life without God would be so pointless. So I'm born, I procreate, I die. So I've got this, right? I'm not missing anything of the atheistic, the agnostic views. You're born, you procreate, you die. Then what? So I am just an animal. But even though we're the smallest animal, we dominate. Or one of the smallest animals. If we're going to look at it like that. I don't throw mankind into the kingdom of the animals. We may be mammals. But I tell you what, when you find a monkey who can build a rocket, teach himself to build the rocket, let me throw that at you, teach himself to build the rocket, I might listen to your argument. Until then, not interested. Now see, monkeys do the same thing chickens do. They kill the weak one. Okay, Lord, am I done? I think I'm done.
Just comes like that.
But if you'll forgive people, folks, and release them, you release, not only do you release them, you're releasing yourself out of that trap. And until you can get out of that trap, you're not going anywhere. You can run. I'm going to tell you right now, I've had seen people run and run and run. They're still offended. They keep running. Well, if I change churches, God will move. God ain't telling you to leave churches. You're offended. You got mad because I told you your pet sin was sin. Sorry. I actually had one. This was hilarious. I had one person came to me. They hadn't been saved more than 4 months. They came to me and said, you know, I'm going to go to this church because I'm just not learning anything with you. And it was Brenda that said it. She said, listen, if they're not learning anything, it's because they don't want to. You know what? I'll tell you, I called this person on their sin. And said, you can't live like that. They aren't going to church. And they're living like I told them they shouldn't be. It's all boiled down to. People get offended. Yeah. It happens. I mean, seriously, if we're going to get wrapped up in everything, it's just stupid. And as much as I throw the word stupid around, I'm surprised half of you haven't left. I taught my kids not to say that. Listen, there are things that are stupid. I can't tell you how many. That's what made me think of that kid. He's laying on the ground. He gets up. He's like, that was stupid. He's just shaking his head. That was stupid. I didn't even see what he did, but he was just laughing it off and went down. He got charged with the foul and kept on playing. But the whole point of us forgiving is to remember that we've been forgiven. We've been forgiven so much. How dare we hold forgiveness from somebody else? Because I'll tell you right now, instead of praying for them, you may think, well, I'm praying for that person. No, you're not. You're praying about them. You are praying about that person if you're holding them in unforgiveness. You want God to deal with them. You want God to bring fire and brimstone down on them. God, you need to blow with your mighty just wind. No, you need... Yeah, you need to quit praying judgment down on people and pray mercy. Had the opportunity the other day to pray for somebody. Their life is totally. And as I was praying, you know, I just really felt, Lord, this person still needs you. Their life, they really screwed up. And to the point they will probably eventually spend about 20 to 25 years in prison. Be my guess. And I felt somewhat vindicated. Like, well, that's justice, right? That's justice. Well, yeah, justice has to be served. But now, we need to pray for the soul of that person. That's what love is. Justice has to be served. I will not deny it. If I were sitting on that person's jury, I would probably find them guilty. Would, from what I know. But I would also pray God's mercy. I'll tell you right now, if we can start doing that, we won't be offended. We will become unoffendable. I would rather be unoffendable, wouldn't you? I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm getting tired of somebody cutting me off in traffic and my back knotting up because of the adrenaline and fighting my right foot from just slamming on the accelerator. It's like, it's just not worth it. There's too many of you laughing. You know exactly what I'm... And there's a lot of guys shaking their heads like, yep, I know, I've been there. I was telling Jesse the other day, we were talking about driving in Columbus. I think I said, I haven't let you drive with the trailer yet. He says, no, we were going to Marion. I said, I'll start letting you drive a little bit with the trailer. And I said, here's how my dad taught me. I started driving in Columbus. I got my permit in Gahanna. Dad said, you're driving home. Later learned out I had to take a test. All I had was the packet. I drove a company truck home. But anyhow, I'm driving. They were just building 670. And Dad, because he was construction, had access to it at the time. And he was coming off. We had an old, ugly bucket truck. Stub-nosed Ford. I mean, this thing had more grease and oil on it than it did paint. But we're pulling a 70-foot telephone pole behind us. We're trying to merge on 270. These cars aren't letting them. He says, I'm going to show you how you merge traffic with a truck like this. He said, you see that Mercedes? He stood it on its bumper. He wasn't going to let me in. Oh, Lord. So I got a real good aggressive driving lessons. And he never got in an accident. Of course, I don't think anybody wanted to shove a telephone pole through their window or windshield either. So, all right, let's stand. Well, I hope you were able to take at least a little something with you today on this, because offense is a major, you know, I've caught a couple shows with John Bevere. You know, it's hard to believe it. He wrote that in 2000, The Bait of Satan, which is about offenses. And how relative that book and the whole message still is today, that we have got to be so careful that we're not offended by everything. I ain't saying we sit back and we let sin run rampant. I'm saying we don't need to be offended. Because I'm going to tell you right now, some of you ladies can probably verify this for me. You see a young girl with a short skirt and you think it's too short, and you go up and you try to confront her. She's just going to shorten it next week. You know, it's kind of my theory on the whole church that's picketing over in Coshocton, or on the other side of Coshocton. They're picketing a strip joint. Well, the strippers decided turnabout's fair play, so they picket the church on Sunday mornings. And my theory is, if you create an opportunity for those women to do something with their clothes on, I'll about guarantee you they'll take the opportunity. Instead of trying to point out how bad they are, show them we care enough. Here, this is a business. These are jobs. Just saying. If we start showing people how much we actually love versus that's just wrong. Because the downside is, and this was the whole reason my mom left the very first church she was ever in when we got saved, is my dad said, all right, there's all your elders and the deacons of that church. And it was his first Sunday. He said, last Friday night, I sat at the bar with every one of them. We won't come here if you want me to serve God. We left. He was right. You can't do that. We got to clean up. Because that'd be my only thing is they probably don't want the strippers in the church, because there's probably a few of them in there that get called out. Hey, I'll see you Friday night. That wouldn't be real good, would it? We'll pray. Remember, we have a fellowship meal today and war on the floor afterwards. If anything, I just want you to remember, God is good. Don't ever, I know there's stuff happening in the world. I know there's garbage going on. Just remember, God is still good. And if we are, the Bible promises us that if we are faithful, and we don't wear out, we don't faint, we don't pull back too soon, we will reap. You know, Tristan, I know it's been a long battle for you, getting custody of your daughter, getting her out of a bad situation. It's worth it now, isn't it? I know a lot of anger, and for me it would have been. A lot of wanting to deal justice my own way. But God dealt it His way. Just took some time. You had to hold it out. You got to be faithful and not faint. We will reap if we faint not. Amen. Well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are truly humbled, Father, that You would settle the score with the blood of Your own Son. Now, Father, I know we all have different things we're dealing with. We all have different things that trip us up. But, Father, I know, as I can see in people's eyes, Father, I can, and things You've showed me, Lord, people are stuck. They're trapped. Lord, help them. Help them to get out of that trap, to forgive, which means to repent of their sin, of unforgiveness. Help them get out of that. Help them to move on. Help them to grow. Father, just as I know You did not, You weren't speaking to me until I forgave. You weren't directing me. You weren't calling things that aren't as though they were until I forgave. And Lord, it has been an uphill battle. But as I can stand here today and testify that forgiveness is the only way. Now, Father, I pray that You bless these people. Move in their lives this week, Father. And Lord, as we celebrate a meal together through fellowship, Lord, I bless the food. I thank You for it, Lord. And I pray that You bless each and every household represented here today. And Father, those that were sick, Lord, we pray right now Your healing power to be manifested in their lives. Moving them, Father, we curse every sickness and disease that is trying to rule them in Jesus' name. Amen.